It's time to pray, America. It's time to pray for change.
We need to see a change. America, America, come back to the place where you were in your beginning days. We need to stand on the firm foundations that our fathers laid. We need to see a change. We're lost inside the dark. Light our way. Between us, love of God, redeem us. Holy Ghost, lead us today.
In 1966, the Holy Spirit spoke to Dale Gentry and said these words: "Give me the first hour of your day, and I'll change your life."
My great awakening. What happened to the power of God? Like on Azusa Street.
He responded, and now over 40 years later, thousands across this nation and around the world pray daily with Dale.
It's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming now. It's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming now. Yes it is, and it's coming now, it's coming now.
Your Hour of Power prayer leader, Dale Gentry.
Hey, thank you very much, Tom Dooley, and good Monday, everybody. Good to have you listening in here on BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, around the clock, around the globe, this time or any time, as we pray together for revival in America and other spiritual awakening. And I'm so thankful for our sister country, England, United Kingdom, particularly England, that standing with us. We have so many listeners in England, and it's the second most listened to part of BPN Radio. We're going to be recognized in other countries around the world that are praying with us today. It's going to be a great broadcast. The man that opened the door for England, for me to go in there, Virginia and I to go in there and start ministering in 1990, is on with me today, Norman Barnes. And this man is the founder of Links International, and they have impacted hundreds of thousands of people in 65 nations of the world. And this guy, this man is a true apostle. And I've got him on the phone today, and we are going to talk, and you're going to be blessed. And so stay tuned here on BPN Radio as we pray for revival in America and other spiritual awakening. Good to have you listening here on this Monday. And we have some special guests coming up in the next few days. And I not only want to talk about what God is doing through the ministry that he's put in my hands, but I certainly want to be a blessing to others and even, ask you to contribute to other ministries if you desire to do so. and to give you that opportunity. So, Father, I just pray that you'll bless this broadcast today in Jesus' name. I pray your will, plan, and purpose be done here on this last day of August 2015. The will of God, the plan of God, and the purpose of God be done in Jesus' name. And we, as we look at the world today, as we look at missions today, we want to especially pray for the poor. We want to pray for our Christian brothers and sisters, hundreds of thousands of them who have been driven, from their homes, their churches have been burned, their homes have been looted, and they have been driven into a place where they have little food, little water. Men have watched their wives and daughters raped. Women have watched their husbands beheaded. We have a genocide going on, and I'm grieved in my spirit today because so many in leadership in this nation are looking the other way. We just wonder how could it happen? And it was like the genocide that took place in Burundi and Rwanda many years ago, and I visited both of those places, and a half million people lost their lives, and you heard very little about it except the movie Hotel Rwanda. But now here we are in another genocide in the nation of particularly the nation of Iraq, where so many hundreds of thousands have lost their home. They don't get to go to a restaurant and choose from the menu what they like or don't like. And you know, we must understand that one of the reasons why Sodom and Gomorrah brought judgment upon their cities because they did not, the Bible said they did not recognize the poor. And you say, well, you know, we've got a lot of poor people in our nation. Very few people in America, I don't believe, because of food stamps and other programs, go to bed hungry at night. We throw so much food away. But people all around the world, about 60% of the world population, will go to bed hungry tonight. And there are hundreds of thousands of people that we need to help. And you say, well, you know, you just can't help everybody. That's what I've heard. You can't help everybody, but you can help somebody. And I know that there are many credible ministries that are helping feed our Christian brothers and sisters in Syria and Iraq. And Matt Staver is one of those that I donate to in his ministry. But today we're going to have Norman Barnes on. We're going to talk about the world and what's happening and how he got started ministry, and I'm going to pay special tribute to the man that had the keys to open the door. And I just want to say to you that there are doors that you need to go through that you may not have the keys to open the door or open the gate, but somebody does. Somebody does. And I didn't have the keys to go through the gate, the door, into England and throughout the United Kingdom, other parts of Europe, but Norman Barnes did. So I met him at a missions conference in 1989, and he said, I'll help you if you'll come. So I'm thankful. I'm thankful and grateful. And both of us have a mutual friend named Martin Smith, who has led a group called Delirious. And several years ago, I had the opportunity to be on the recording with Martin Smith and Delirious, a little CD called In the Can. It's several years ago, but it's still very popular. You can get it on iTunes or by going to Martin Smith, Googling Martin Smith. But my friend Roger Ellis and I had the opportunity to be a part of the introduction and to this song. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm thankful for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So here is Martin Smith, Delirious, and then Norman Barnes will be with me on the telephone from Rustington, England.
Well, we're here because of Jesus. Thank you. set our foot. But the years have caused the flame to burn much stronger. And I'm not burning down any of my bridges, but I'm burning up inside. To flee from my religion and love my neighbor. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Barrenness, when I felt your pure affection, as you heard my frail petitions to serve you endlessly. Well, have I loved the tree that they put you on, oh my friend who met me at the cross. Oh, I wanna sing again for my brother and find my way down his mountain.
Okay, there you have us, Martin Smith and Delirious. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the one I love. That, of course, is the one we love is Jesus. Okay, we're ready for our interview now with Norman Barnes. We're getting Norman on the phone right now. Okay, it's good to have with me here today on the broadcast a longtime friend of mine, Norman Barnes, from Rustington, England. And Norman opened the door for Gene and I to go into England in 1990. I first met him in 1989 at a missions conference in South Texas. And he said, why don't you pray about coming to England and ministering? We could use your ministry there. I prayed and felt the Holy Spirit said yes. And so he had the keys. And I know that someone having the keys to open a door for you is very, very important. And I know that Norman and his wife, Grace, have opened the door for many, many people. But they opened the door for Gene and I in 1989 to start our journey. And it's been a wonderful journey over the years to the United Kingdom and England and Scotland, Ireland. And Norman and Grace served us so well over the years. The first few years we went to England, they set up our schedule, took time out of their schedule to drive us around, make sure that we were taken care of, for which we are very thankful and very grateful. Norman and Grace started Oasis Church in East London, pastored there for 30 years. Along the way, they stumbled into a call to international missions. And after several trips to Ghana in West Africa, Lynx International was born. And Lynx is currently in over 65 countries, changing lives, transforming communities through strategic partnerships by the power of the gospel. So it's an honor to have Norman Barnes on today, which I believe is a true apostle. He's written books. He's traveled the world. He's had a very effective ministry in America. So, Norman, thanks for being on today.
Well, it's a great honor and a great privilege, especially to be talking to you again, Dale.
Well, you've been a very true friend. You and Grace have served Gene and I so well, and both of you have a wonderful gift of hospitality. You've housed a lot of people over the years. And even though you're not pastoring and traveling as much, you have an effective ministry. So talk about your ministry. Talk about how you got started. I love to hear people's stories. So I know, Norman Barnes, that you have a story to tell. It's a very encouraging story. And I believe that God has blessed you and your wife, Grace, because you've been so willing to serve other people along the way, giving your life. And how long have y'all been in the? How long have you been married? How long have you been in the ministry now?
We've been married 51 years, and we've been in the ministry 48 years.
Wow!
So yeah, good long time. And you know, we started with my mother, who had a vision of a little chapel, and I was very reluctant to go there, but went there, and then felt the call of God to look after what was 15 elderly people. And we used to laugh to say that we had the first underground church, because we buried all of those in the first couple of years. But then we grew the church from there. God just blessed us, and it was an amazing story. We grew from nothing to 200 people in the place, and we had a huge missionary outreach. We were giving away something like 40% of our income to missions. We gave away 8% of our people to the mission field. And then God just burst in upon us in a very real way. And then, of course, you know, series of miracles with a postbox number and an air ticket. I went to Ghana, West Africa, and sat with a missionary family and asked naive questions and didn't understand why they couldn't get certain things, and came back, told my story, and people gave me money and freighted out everything they needed, and out of that, Lynx International was born, and the story continues to grow.
And tell us about Lynx International, what that is and what you guys do.
Well, when I went to Ghana, I really just sat with a missionary and began to make notes. I had no idea. There were so many things they couldn't get, spare parts for their car, simple things like breakfast cereal and things like that. And I thought, well, I can do something about that. And so, as I say, I came back, told my story, and people gave me money. And then it grew from that. We began to develop and grow, become more strategic. And so then I sat with missionaries and realized we were in the Amazon jungle with missionaries. And their Sunday afternoon was a tape recorder, and they put on some worship music on the tape recorder, and then they put on a ministry tape that was church for these missionaries.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can do something about that. And so I began to send out books and tapes, CDs, music, ministry, and we finished up doing that into 85 countries around the world, all over the place where missionaries were hungry for something to feed on. And then we began to look at how could we, our whole vision has always been serving the church around the world.
Yeah.
And then we had this kind of thing, together we can make a difference. So I was always looking for partnerships. We never wanted to build, it wasn't Links International, we don't have our name on anything around the world. It was, our passion is to serve the people who are already serving the people, to work with them and to act as an agent. And so we've now developed into primary health care, we've developed into microfinance, we've developed into startup projects, we've developed into clean water, we've developed into agriculture, teaching and training, all of those sorts of things that we've done to really help those on the field to do the work they're called to do. And it's been very exciting.
Wow. And that's how many nations you're involved in now?
I think it's something like 60 or 70 nations around the world we're now involved with. And, I mean, like one story, we did health care for a little village in Uganda, just telling them about how to look after their babies. One in two babies died before the age of five. And so we gave them health care instructions about fevers, how to handle that sort of thing, diarrhea, clean water. And anyway, we taught them, went back 18 months later, asked the same question, how many babies have died? Not one single baby had died.
That's amazing.
It's those kind of stories you go, that makes everything worth it, you know.
Yeah.
Not just one child, but many children whose literally lives were saved. Very simple teaching with little or no expense.
Do you have representatives in all those nations?
Yes, we always work relationally. Every time it's got to be relationally. And also we make sure that we are visiting those projects at least every 2 years, most of them a year or 18 months. So we're out there visiting them, making sure that we can help, making sure that the money is spent properly, making sure they're accountable, making sure that they can develop and grow. So like in Uganda now with micro enterprise, I think it's something like 5,000 families now that have now have little businesses that have been lifted out of poverty.
Wow. That's
so something like 30,000 people if you include the children, you know. I mean, it's just it's a phenomenal story of, of people who now can afford to send their children to school. They eat every day. They clothe themselves. I mean, it's just an amazing progress.
Well, you know, I believe that like nations in America, England, we take so many, many things for granted. But I remember you telling me how many people around the world went to bed hungry every night. I forgot what those statistics were.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Over 50% of the world will go to bed hungry. I mean, probably nearer 60% of the world will go to bed hungry. You know, and I mean, half the world still can't read and write. I mean, you know, there are huge needs. And, of course, as you've seen in your TVs, as we've got on ours now with the migration of refugees across Europe and all those sort of massive problems that they're facing. And what we quickly learned is that we couldn't help everybody everywhere, that we could make a difference to somebody somewhere. And so rather than be overwhelmed by the task, you know, how do you eat an elephant? Well, one bite at a time.
Right.
We just say, right, we're going to take one step at a time.
Uh-huh.
And that's what we've done. And It's been difficult because sometimes, you know, the need far outgrows mm-hmm. the possibility of supply.
Mm-hmm.
But we have seen lives changed, and we live with the maxim, we don't want to give handouts, we want to give hand-ups.
Mm-hmm.
We want so that people can walk with dignity. So like with microfinance, it's a loan, it's repaid,
mm-hmm.
and then that money is recycled to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And in that way, those people then have their own dignity.
That's a fantastic.
So, you know, we've done low-cost housing, mortgages. Within 10 years, that person can own that property outright. I mean, they're just amazing ongoing stories around the mm-hmm. world.
And I know that's fantastic what you're doing there with Links and what you have done starting that ministry. And I just believe that the need is growing across the universe, particularly with the outrageous acts of ISIS
yes.
and what we see in Iraq and Syria. And, you know, by and large in America, Norma, the news media has really turned their heads toward the crises with Christians, particularly in Iraq and Syria. And I know that many Christians are saying, well, there's hundreds of thousands in need, and, you know, you can't help everybody. That's kind of been the byword. Well, we can't help everybody. But I agree with you that we can help somebody. There is a entity here in America, and they're raising money to start they're having to pay ISIS to release families so they can start bringing them over to America to make Americans aware of the crises that's going on. I believe there's a lot of Christians that can help as far as, you know, with Links, and I'm going to have you to give the address there. But we can help, and we cannot look the other way. We cannot afford to look the other way.
No, well, I mean, it's very interesting. What does Proverbs say? If you do not hear the cry of the poor,
yeah.
I will not hear your cry. So is it that the fact that some of our unanswered prayers that frustrate us are linked with the fact that we're not paying attention to the cry of the poor? And mm-hmm. as we pay attention to the cry of the poor, it releases something in a spiritual realm, a breakthrough in terms of our prayers. God begins yeah. to do things. And that's, I mean, that is a major, major thing for us that, you know, we cannot ignore that cry. We cannot. And, you know, it's the story of the starfish on the beach, isn't it? You know,
mm-hmm.
the man who saw tens of thousands of starfish on the beach,
mm-hmm.
he's picking them up one at a time, throwing them back into the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said, you know, why are you doing that? You know, what difference are you making? There's tens of thousands of them on the beaches, yeah, yeah, but it makes a difference to the one I've just thrown back into the sea.
Yeah.
You know, I can make a difference to one.
yeah.
And if I can make a difference to one, then that's fine. I can make a difference, you know. And I believe that's the mandate that we have as church. And it concerns me that we spend so much for ourselves. And when God is asking us to be, good, of course, good stewards of what
mm-hmm.
we have,
mm-hmm.
but there is a huge cry. That's
yeah.
going up.
Yeah.
And a little can make such a phenomenal difference. You know, I mean, we can set somebody up in business for $75.
Uh-huh.
And that money's repaid over 6 months. And that's a one-off payment. The money gets recycled. And that family can be lifted out of poverty.
And what kind
forever.
Of what kind of business will they do?
Well, they may sell pineapples. They may sell charcoal. What they sometimes do is they'll buy a 5 gallon drum of oil, cooking
mm-hmm.
oil,
mm-hmm.
and then they'll break it down into little bottles.
Mm-hmm.
And so they buy it wholesale and sell it retail.
Uh-huh.
And they can make a profit on it.
Uh-huh.
And that's enough for them to live on. Or we train them in hairdressing,
mm-hmm.
and the ladies can earn enough money to send their children to school and feed themselves just on hairdressing money. And so there's lots of different ways. So they just, with their money that we loan them, they buy their scissors and their cutters and their hair equipment and all
mm-hmm.
that sort of thing. That money's repaid. It's recycled.
Mm-hmm.
So it just keeps going. I mean, it was very interesting to me. It all started with a friend of mine saying, can you support six pastors in Uganda? And I said, no, we're not going to do that. I said, but what I can do is I'll raise some money so that we can set them up in business.
Uh-huh.
Now, we did that 14 years ago. It cost me $3,000.
Uh-huh.
We set those men up in business. That $3,000 is still being recycled. We've never had to pay those pastors another penny. And they're all now fully supported by that business.
Amazing, amazing. If people wanted to get more information about Links International, how would they get in touch with you?
Well, they can go to our website. And also in the States, of course, we now have Links International USA.
Uh-huh.
And so there is a facility now in the USA as well as in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And so people can go online and find us at linksinternational.co.org, www.linksinternational.org, and they'll find us there.
Okay.
And then they'll pick up from there on the American one as well.
L-I-N-K-S, Links International.
L-I-N-K-S, Links International, all one word.
Well, I know that you have... You guys have given your very lives, and you've had an effect in America. I know that you're not going to be returning to America personally, physically, but I know that you have sown a lot of seed. How many years did you and your wife Grace minister in America?
28 years. We've been going to America 3 times a year for 28 years, which is a lot of commitment, isn't it?
28 years, and I'm glad that you came to America so that you could meet me and say, come to England. And you opened the door for many, many places. And some of my best memories, greatest memories, is in ministry has been in England, to where you set the meetings up, and I got to minister there in Marsham Street Revival that went on for many months. In Wembley Stadium and Grapevine Conference, many, many places as a result of your influence. And, you know, I just believe, Norman, that if people are willing to serve other people, they're going to be blessed in ministry. They're going to have a blessed life. And I just shudder sometimes when I see people that are giving their entire energies in life just to promote their own ministry, their own work, what they're doing. But I believe as we serve other people, then we're going to be blessed. And I know that you and Grace have had tremendous servant hearts, and I'm very thankful for that.
Well, that's something that we learned a long while ago. I believe if you're sown, you know, to serve another man's vision often then begins to open up doors for your own vision. And as we serve one another, something gets unlocked. And, you know, if you want ministry, serve ministry.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, you know, if you want to be blessed financially, give. I mean, those sort of things, they're the principles of heaven, aren't they?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what would you say to pastors today that, you know, they're going through the fire, struggling, or maybe young people that want to get started in the ministry? What would you say to them?
Well, I think, first of all, it is obedience is far better than all your sacrifice.
Uh-huh.
But what I have learned is that resource follows obedience, not the other way around.
Uh-huh.
Often people say, well, when I get the money, I'll obey.
Uh-huh.
What I found is, no, you obey first, and the resource follows your obedience. And I believe that begins to open up doors then to vision, passion, longing. If we're living in the most fruitful, most opportune days we've ever lived in.
Uh-huh.
When people's hearts are failing from fear, I find now on the streets people are asking questions. There's so much uncertainty and fear that is around. We've never lived in such a day.
Right.
And more I'm convinced, you know, it's not about us. It's all about him and to see the kingdom come and the will of God being done in the earth is my real passion. And it's what people are looking for is incarnational gospel. It's a people who are living out in the power of the gospel, power of the resurrected Christ, living out that life in kingdom life, not just on a Sunday, but every day of the week, walking in his purposes, setting our hands to do whatever he asks. And when the Bible, you know, really says, whatever you do, whether that is you're a preacher on a Sunday, or you're a school's worker on a Monday, or you're a mom looking after your kids, whatever you do, do it as working for the Lord. In other words, if we love Jesus, we're all in full-time ministry.
Well, that's great. I agree. One of the things that so impressed me when Gina and I first came to England in 1990 was the church there that you and Grace were leading, were pastoring there in Goodmayes, England. And the community that had been developed there. And so, and most of the church, I guess, lived kind of in the close proximity. Many lived on the same street. And y'all just lived out a daily life of relationships. It wasn't just gathering on Sunday. I was quite amazed. And how did you develop that sort of community, camaraderie in that church? And so many people living up and down the streets there.
Yeah, that was amazing. I mean, we had 170 houses in the street and 17 families living in those houses. So we had 10% of the street, which was amazing. But I think, you know, we began with that whole maxim, by this shall all men know you, that you're my disciples, you love one another.
Mm-hmm.
And so we began to look at how does that demonstrate it. We began to understand that Jesus said, I build the church, I give to you the keys of the kingdom. So we had to look at, you know, what does that kingdom look like? What does that mean? It's more than just on a Sunday. It's something more than that. It's tangible living day by day.
Yeah.
And so what we did was, myself and my colleague John said, right, let's live this. So we began to live it, just share our lives. 1 month he had resources, next month I'd have resources. And so we would share our lives. And then what happened was, out of it going, what is it that you guys have got? Come and be part of it. And so what happens was, it became attractive. It's what people wanted to be. People were longing for something more than just 2 hours on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And so we began to share life. And as we shared life, what people found was then, things like babysitting became easier, raising your kids became easier. You know, if I hadn't got a lawnmower, somebody would lend me the lawnmower. I mean, we just found then in daily living that we were living out this kingdom of God, and that made us attractive. I think it's that secret of, you know, incarnational living that made us attractive. And We experimented, you know. We tried everything. We looked at life in the full, really, and began to see that it wasn't just kind of prayer and singing songs on a Sunday, but it was life to the full. And that really started to make the difference to us all. And then, of course, what it flowed out of that, then the whole thing of generosity just flowed. People began to realize that opening up their homes, you know, they could be blessed. And when you look at, you know, the little lady who opened up her home to the prophet, you know, she received her son back to life.
Yeah.
So who knows who you might not be entertaining when you open up your home?
Well, I agree. I agree with that. So, you know, when I look back and how that how you have developed relationships with so many, many people in England, in America, different nations of the world, you know, I'm thinking back, you know, why would you take a guy that you only met at a conference and set up a schedule for him to minister, provide housing, and then after he leaves your church, after he and his wife leaves your church, then you drive us around, and you did that for a few years, and did we pay you for doing that?
No.
So why would you do that for Dale and Gene Gentry when we did not remunerate you for that? Why would you do that?
Well, I mean, we're here to serve the church, aren't we? That's the whole thing. I'm here to serve the body of Christ. It's bigger than my little congregation. You know, I mean, I often ask people, how many, a trick question, I guess, you know, how many churches in your town? And they'll go, oh, there's the Baptist, there's this, there's that. So now, in actual fact, I can tell you exactly how many churches there are in your town. One.
Yeah.
There's only one church.
That's right.
We're all a part of one church.
Mm-hmm.
Many different aspects, but one church. That's the first thing. The second thing was, in meeting you, I believe in it, to use your phrase, divine connections and appointments. And I knew immediately in my spirit, I'm going, I'm connected here.
Mm-hmm.
And then thirdly, I think, was the hunger in the UK for the prophetic. We had not seen very much of what it was that you were ministering in particular prophetically in the States. And there was a hunger for that. And so, I mean, in that sense, by that time, obviously, because I'd been part of that whole early house church movement in the UK, had already built up relationships across the country of people who trusted me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew then, one, if I opened up my own door and let you come and minister, we would find that that would be multiplied. And of course, what happens then is, out of relationships, ministry follows. You took time for relationships. I remember saying to you, you know, if you'll take time,
mm-hmm.
it's not just let's book up some scheduled meetings. That's not the answer. The answer is, can we eat together? Can we drink together? Can we share life together?
Yeah.
Those are the important things. And if we can do that, then the door, and that to me is still the only way to really have a successful ministry in the UK. Is to work relationally.
Mm-hmm.
And if we do that, then iron sharpens iron. You know, not only did it open up the door for you in the UK, but then it opened up doors for me and others in the States.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a cross flow and you learn from each other. Iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've learned, unashamedly, learned so much from my time ministering in America. Equally, I am aware that we've been able to bring something too.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's how we're enlarged in the kingdom, isn't it? It is by giving and receiving, sharing with one another. You know, the Bible talks about you walk together in unity of spirit that takes you on to unity of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And we always want it the other way around. You know, let's dot the I's and cross the T's and agree doctrinally and then we can walk together. No, no, no. I'm in Christ. You're in Christ.
Yeah.
Let's walk together. We can debate and share. We can agree to disagree. We can look at stuff. And as we do that, enlightenment comes. Holy Spirit speaks to us and we all learn together. And that, to me, has been the delight.
Yeah. Well, you know, you have certainly walked it out, Norman Barnes, and you have touched so many people's lives, and I understand that 65 nations of the world involved in your Links ministry. But today, you know, I've been looking forward to having you on sometime just to say thank you for serving Gene and I, and your heart of compassion and wanting to help people is amazing. And it was not like Dale, you come to England and we will minister together and we'll share the platform together. No, it wasn't that way, even though we've done that and I would have been happy with that. But you just said to me, no, I'll introduce you. And I will set up the stage for you. I will serve you. I will carry your Bible. I will give you water. I will drive you around, Grace, and I will do that for you. And with nothing, expecting nothing in return. And not only doing that, but watching for us and guarding us. I remember particularly, you may not remember the night, but I remember that we had a long prayer line, and I was praying for people and prophesying over people, and the line seemingly grew longer and longer, and suddenly there was two men that were standing beside me, and they picked me up, and they carried me out of the building, and there were, I don't know, scores of people still there. And you were saying to me, Dale, I told them to take you out because enough is enough. And I knew that your energy level was wearing down. And so it was a matter of watching for me. I do know that the very second church after I left you, the very next church that I ministered at, I was confronted by a man in the back of the congregation, and you stood up, rebuked him, and told him to sit down. So it was an eventful night, but it was your care. And I want to thank you, and I just believe that is the road to success, where people are like yourself are saying, I'm gonna help you, and I'm gonna take you around if necessary. I'm gonna set the stage. I'm gonna introduce you, and because of that, Gene and I had so many fruitful years of ministry there in England, the United Kingdom. So thank you, and I just sense today that I want you to pray for people that need to know that the road to success is through serving. And I know that Lynx International, of course, serves other people, serves people to help them get started. And so you have provided a platform for so many thousands and thousands of people. I don't know how many is involved in Lynx International. You probably have some statistics on that.
Well, the interesting thing is, you know, in terms of staff, we've got one full-time staff and five part-time workers,
mm-hmm.
and we handle $1.6 million a year.
Wow.
I mean, so we're lean and mean. But, wow. I mean, we've actually released in teams thousands of people now,
yeah.
over the years have gone out on teams,
yeah.
From all walks of life. From doctors, nurses, plumbers, bricklayers, computer operators, guys, major players in business. You know, we've just released them out, mm-hmm. and given them opportunity to use their skills and bless the poor and care for people.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, that's the whole purpose of it all. And now we're doing it again, obviously, this year with micro enterprise, with the whole thing of healthcare, clean water. It's multiplying and multiplying of people uh-huh. who are engaged with mission. And, you know, I often say to people, you know, there is a job for everybody. I mean,
yeah.
basically, there's something for everybody to uh-huh. participate in some way or another. And,
uh-huh.
Even in our own local church now, they're engaging with teams for Lynx, and now we're encouraging families to go.
Uh-huh.
And so mum and dad are taking their children on missions trips.
Wow.
And it just changes the whole value system
uh-huh.
of that family.
Yeah.
Because they see children who have seemingly nothing so happy.
Mm-hmm.
They see how little it takes to make such a big difference to
uh-huh.
people there.
Uh-huh.
It just changes your value system.
Oh, it does. It does. I remember the first time that Gene and I went on a missions trip to Jamaica, how our hearts were moved.
Yes.
And we were just thinking, where have we been all of these years? And then, of course, the first time I went to Haiti and saw the poverty there and people living the way they did in little tin buildings and cardboard buildings and using an open field for their restroom. I was just thinking, my God, this has just changed my whole perspective about life.
Mm.
And then, of course, when it goes back to reality, is that the real world is hungry, and the real world is in poverty. And, you know, I was reading one of the things that caused Sodom and Gomorrah to fall. It was not only the perversion, their moral perversion, but they did not consider the poor. That's what the Bible says. They did not consider the poor. And if we as people, as the people of God, the church of God, if we don't consider the poor, and most people in America and England are not poor, but people around the world are, and we need to consider that. And so, wow, I know we could talk for a long time.
But I
just want to encourage people to, if they want to give to Lynx International, or if they want to contact you, then they just go to lynxinternational.org. Is that correct?
Hello. Yes.
Lynxinternational.org. And then they can find out more about that and contact you, and I would encourage that. Norman, I really appreciate you being on. I want you to conclude today with prayer. And however the Holy Spirit would lead you, I just salute you and honor you for the major part that you and your wife, Grace, have played in Gene and I's life and ministry, and we'll be forever grateful for opening the door when you had the keys to open the door and for serving us. And why don't you just pray as the Holy Spirit leads you in conclusion today?
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you for your kind words, too. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have designed us. You created us. You didn't make mistakes. You looked at us and said, it's good. It's very good. And we thank you, Lord, that you knew us when we were in our mother's womb. We thank you that your word declares that you have a plan for us, and your plan for us is a good plan. A plan to prosper, a plan to be blessed, a plan to fulfill our destiny and our calling. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've not made it difficult in that sense, for you said, my sheep, hear my voice and follow me. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that we will constantly lean into you to hear that small voice speaking to us. And in doing so, Lord, walk out in obedience. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, what you order is what you pay for. As we walk in obedience to you, we thank you that resource follows that. And we pray, Lord, that we may, Lord Jesus, touch whatever is at hand to touch, whether that is our neighbor or whether that is somebody we see in the store or whether it is somebody we meet in church. We thank you, Father, that you can work through every single one of us born of your Spirit, for you have given us Holy Spirit that we might receive power when that has come upon us. Power, Lord Jesus, to be able to bring healing and deliverance and salvation to men and women. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, and I pray for everyone listening to this recording will realize that they are, as it were, an agent for the kingdom of God, that, Lord Jesus, you've commissioned us and that we are seated with you now in heavenly places and you put everything under our feet. Therefore, we can go in boldness and in the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, to declare that he is alive, that he is risen and he is able to touch and to heal. As we hear the cry of the poor, Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have the ways and the means for that to be heard and to be met. So, Lord Jesus, our prayer is the prayer you taught us to pray. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you very much, Norman Barnes. And if people wants to get your books, do they go to the same website?
Yes, or they can go now on Kindle. And if they go on Kindle, they'll find that if they put in Norman Barnes or Destiny Calls, they'll find it all there.
All right, Destiny Calls.
And, Destiny Calls.
Yeah, your book. And I know that everybody would be blessed by reading your book, Destiny Calls, Norman Barnes. I can get that on Kindle. And greet all of your friends, my friends there at Riverstone Church.
And we will do.
The great, great group of people and friends. Thank you for being on today, and I'm gonna play a song right now as we go by a mutual friend, Martin Smith.
Oh,
and,
lovely!
Yeah. So thank you for being on today, and I'll talk to you again soon, Norman.
Bless you now. Thank you, Dale.
Okay.
Bye.
God bless you.
Find me in the river. Find me on my knees. I've walked against the water. Now I'm waiting if you please. We've longed to see the roses. but never felt the thorns, and bought our pretty crowns, but never paid the price. Find me in the river, find me there, find me on my knees with my soul laid bare. Even though you're gone and I'm cracked and dry, find me in the river, I'm waiting here.
Okay, while Martin Smith sings, we're going to pray for the nations of the world right now before we run out of time. We're so thankful to have had Norman Barnes on with us today and sharing some incredible information and stories and faith-building principles. And before we go today, we want to pray for England, all of our friends there, as well as Scotland, Ireland, and the United Kingdom. We also want to pray today for other nations that are praying with us, including Brazil and Canada and Germany. And we want to pray for some other nations as well. We want to pray for Australia, and we want to pray for Italy. We want to pray for South Africa and China, Portugal, Malaysia, Philippines, India, all of these praying with us, and Indonesia, Belgium, Mexico. We want to pray for South Korea, their situation today. I want to pray for them, as well as other nations of the world that are praying with us here on BPN Radio. And why don't you just take a time, take a few moments as we pray for Ghana, Uganda, the nations of Africa, as well as other nations that surround us that are listening to BPN Radio. And we want to pray today, of course, for Syria. We want to pray for those in Iraq that we've been talking about, as well as the Netherlands, Singapore, Poland, Chile, Ecuador, Bolivia, Greece, Switzerland, Moldova, Saudi Arabia, Dominica, Austria, Georgia, Panama, and as well as Haiti, and Armenia, Namibia, other nations of the world. So, Father, we just pray for the world. We pray particularly for those that are hungry, for those that are starving, for those who have little food or water. We pray for those whose lives are being endangered. We pray, Lord, for a new passion, compassion for these. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, thank you for being a part of BPN Radio. And we're going to be back tomorrow at this same time or any time as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the Donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.